Amen. I'm so glad that you're brave enough to come back and continue this series with me on the promise. Lets me know that you're serious about where God's taking you on this journey with Him. And that's no small matter. He's setting you up to be effective in the world that we live in. And we know our world needs help, don't we? And it's interesting enough, it just might be that He wants to use you in a mighty way. That's a guarantee. You are that powerful. And God's plans for you is wow. And somehow today, with God's help, amen, in our agreement, we're setting a climate here for you to get that kind of knowing before you leave. God's will is for you to catch on fire. God's will is you to get so influenced by His presence that you just can't help but tell everybody. You won't be weird. You won't be spooky. You just can't help but tell everybody how good He is. And in the process of talking about how good He's been to you, you're going to encourage them, and it's going to spill off on them, and they're going to want more of it too. Our world needs Jesus. And I've come to realize, ladies and gentlemen, I need Him more and more and more. Amen. I have not arrived in my relationship with Him. I thank God for what He's given me over 56 years of going around the sun, but my best days are before me. He keeps telling me that. Amen. And I'm encouraged every day that I hear His voice. Today, amen, God's plan for you is to recognize His voice if you haven't recognized it before. It will encourage you when you know He's speaking to you. It is very, very in God's plan that you not hear me, but you hear Him speak today. Amen. We have been planned by God to be fitly joined together. Isn't that wonderful? That I need you, you need me. And the reason we need each other is because we need Him. And because we need Jesus, He planned that we get connected and we encourage and we build up each other. Edify one another, strengthen and encourage each other. You have a message from heaven that when I'm with you, I can hear God speaking through you. But you've got to be willing. You get to be willing, rather. And that's so wonderful about our Lord. We're talking about the promise. We're going to address what is the gospel today. Several of us here today, we're going to realize there's more to the gospel than what meets the eye. There's more to the gospel, amen, than we've considered. And I hope that you open up your spirit today with hunger and thirst, because it takes hunger and thirst in order to receive from Him. He will not fill us. Anybody need to be filled with more God? He will not, because He's waiting on a desire. Now, if you lack a desire, He said, ask. He'll give you desire. And so if you know you need that kind of desire, take the time and ask, seek and knock. Don't beg, just open up and say, Lord, I need you right now, and feel after Him. He will come suddenly to you. And so the gospel is the pipeline. Well, it is the line, amen, to how to get to Him and to experience Him. It is the only track. And it can be called the fast track, if you want to call it that way. You don't have to wait, amen, till tomorrow. Now is the appointed time. I know they've done some tarrying in the book of Acts, didn't they, Brother Randy? But they tarried because He was trying to get things set up. They were holding out. They was hanging on, amen. And He said, don't go and try to carry this message until you're endowed with power from on high. So they hung out. And that group tarried for a little while. But since then, it's to whosoever will. And it's not tomorrow. Today is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. And so I encourage you, if you know you're lacking something that you don't have, the Lord wants you to know you can have it today. Just take a little bit of time and open up your spirit. Push back offenses. Push back pain. Push back any idea that's negative. And remember, something happened 2,000 years ago that was about you. Amen? 2,000 years ago, He made it about me. Since the cross, Jackie, it's been about God and others. And the enemy wants me to get sidetracked and make it about me again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And if it's about you right now, know that that will hinder you getting more of Jesus. Ask the Lord to help you not to make it about you. Make it about Him and others, and He will blow your mind on how much peace will come and how much joy will come. Amen? The fact is, as much as you can find flaws with me, if you study me, you can find them. I'm still not your problem. And me changing ain't going to give you a better day. Is anybody catching that? The problem that I have in my life is not people. It's the person in the mirror. And as soon as I get him, amen, dead. Not dead in the sense of 6 foot under. But when I take his will and say, that will don't help me any. That will beats me up. Because that will is self-will, and it's all about me. When I take self-will and make it submit to his will, oh, man, you talk about fun. Now we in daddy's playground. Now, amen, I'm seeing what he's always wanted me to see. Does this happen to anybody? And at that point where self-will has been, the altar of self-will has been tore down, and the altar of selflessness has been built up on his behalf, all of a sudden, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The passion of God's kingdom and his purpose begins to eat you up within until it's like fire shut up in your bones and you can't help but talk about it. Amen. Every bad day I've had over 56 years has always been about me being drunk on me. And me thinking that somebody needed to change so I could have a better day. But the good news is I don't have to stay bound by that. The good news is I can host his presence and I can carry this message of hope wherever I go. Amen, because it's about God and the victory he won 2,000 years ago. I can choose to walk with him in his victory, or I can choose to try to take care of me and walk in my defeat. Because it's going to be a day lost if I spend time trying to pet me. But when I spend time trying to honor him for what he did on my behalf, all of a sudden, man, everything starts coming in waves. Amen. The day is redeemed. Time is redeemed. The joy of the Lord begins to spill out of my spirit. And so I remember a time when I heard the gospel, and but I had heard it, but I didn't hear it. And finally, I heard it. And when I heard it, I began to see the effect of it. It impacted my life because I began to see how it was working in other people's lives. I could see the very act of God's mercy working in others. I seen the effects of his name that's above every name. Amen. I seen people walking in that character and God was using them. I seen the good news come alive. And it began to impact my life to the point that I had to make a decision. Am I going to believe this message of hope? Amen. God has given me the opportunity to hear. And so I began to recognize that God was interacting and reaching for me to work in my heart. And when I finally gave in to him in my heart, a knowing happened inside of my spirit. Because his presence became so real to me, so much so that he began to fill me with his spirit and with his fire. Amen. And so I began to hear things from heaven that I couldn't understand, but they were changing the way I think. They were changing the way I seen things, and peace come over me. And I began to realize that God was actually reigning, not off in the future someday, but he was reigning in our hearts. He had taken over in my life, and it was the trouble around me and the stuff that was going on. The soap operas were like water off a duck's back. It didn't bother me because he had rightful place in my heart. I wasn't enamored by the ugly. I was only seeing what he was seeing. Amen? Amen. And you have to choose to stay in that presence. You have to make a conscious choice to let the good news of Jesus Christ be your objective, that every day you get up, I am going to be God's representative. I am going to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God in the world that we're living. Amen. The governments of this world are nothing compared to his government. Amen. God works with them, but as a believer that's been filled with spirit and with fire, you become his representative. You become his ambassador. And because you let him catch you, because he's been pursuing you all your life, amen, and you let him take over lordship in your life, now rivers of living water are spilling out of you on people around you. They may not be believers yet, but they're being blessed because you're around them. Did y'all realize that when Jesus, wherever he went, everybody got blessed? I mean, whole cities were healed at one time because he showed up in the city. It wasn't because they deserved to be healed. It was because Jesus was, amen, powerful, and he loved them, and he wanted to bless them. Does Jesus still want to do that today? And will Jesus use you to do what he did 2,000 years ago if we'll let him take over his house? Oh, yeah. And so I thank you for being bold enough to come and listen to what we're going to talk about today, because it's going to challenge you about who you are as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, as a believer, and your role in doing greater works than he did when he was in flesh. Now he's really in flesh. Come on now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to catch this. What makes it greater is that as one, he could provide the sacrifice. As one, he could open up the message of hope. But now, because you have made a conscious decision to let him come take over lordship in his house, now you got a bunch of Jesuses walking around that are connected, that make up the body of Christ, that take their true identity, which is Christ, and they go out as sons and daughters, and they, amen, fight the good fight of faith, amen. They don't let all the doctrines of the world and the cultural ideas overwhelm them. No, they listen to what the Father is saying, and they only say what they hear him say, and they only do what they see him do. They are representatives. They carry the good news wherever they go. And when you carry the good news wherever you go, people will be healed. Amen. The blind eyes will be opened. Miracles will begin to manifest when you host the presence of God on that scale. Now, God's going to have his way today, because some of you are going to say, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to be who God says I am, and I am going to make a platform for him to spring from. Amen. He is going to have his way. I'm not going to be sorry for myself no more. I'm not going to bicker and complain because things ain't fair no more. Amen. I'm going to thank God for what he did 2,000 years ago, and I'm going to be one that walks in victory because he gave me the victory. Amen. Not all professed believers do that, because in serving as a pastor, You get to encourage people all the time, and you're finding out they're not holding this kind of a mindset in their thinking, and they're not walking in victory. They find the problem with everything around them, and they're convinced that if people will change, they will have a better day. But I believe in Jesus. Okay, well, tell me about the good news now. And so, how many want to join in with the victory of Jesus Christ today? There were two groups of people in the Old Testament, and we heard that last week. There was the group that they really were wanting the blessing more than they wanted the blesser. It's important that us catch this. I mean, sometimes if you're not careful, because I found myself doing this before, I was seeking the blessing more than I wanted that was doing the blessing. And it took him to help me realize my deception. And I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, serving in ministry. Didn't realize that was actually happening. But in Israel, amen, you had a group that sought after the blesser, the one who blesses, and there were only a few of them. Because they sought to walk in victory. Amen. Isn't it interesting that of all the nation of Israel, 300 walked in the victory. And the rest of the nation gets blessed. But did you know that your blessing can become your curse? Just pause for effect right now. And once you get it, you got this blessing, but you don't have the one who blesses you. What have you got? If you get the miracle, if you get the healing, if you get the bank account, if you get the house, if you get the land, and you don't have the one that gave it to you, you ain't got nothing yet. We need the one who can bless. And when you have the one who can bless as the blesser in your life, you really don't need anything, do you? The reason you have anything is because you're using it to carry the message of the good news wherever you go. You have what you have because you're an ambassador and you're sold out to the objective. Amen. And so because you begin to carry this message on his behalf, because this is his house, he gives you more because he wants you to touch more lives and he wants you to give it away more. Is this helping somebody? God is looking for a vessel that will let him. He'll let all of Israel be blessed. He'll let everybody that's out hanging out with you be blessed. Amen. And he has no problem with being blessed. What he has a problem with is that they won't let him come and take over in his house. Amen. And in their lives. And so, what do we want more? The blessing or the blesser? You know, Achan, if you've read the book called the Bible, Achan was a man that sought after the blessing more than the blesser. When Israel went into the promised land, the first city they took was Jericho. Everybody read that? Everybody heard the walls of Jericho come down? And the first city of the promised land belonged to God. It was his tithe. Anybody know? Everybody read this? And the Lord told all of Israel, don't you take anything out that belongs to me. I'm going to give you the rest of the land. So God chooses the first portion of the promise to be his. But Achan couldn't keep his hands off of it. And because Achan took the blessing instead of focusing on the blesser, it cost him and his family's life. God didn't kill him. Achan killed himself. Achan brought the curse. God didn't curse him. Achan cursed himself. It's all by choice, ladies and gentlemen. And his decision not to put God first in his life, which is the problem with most Christians, amen, it cost them fun at the house, relationships that were broken, paying, you know, anybody ever wrote a check, went, why in the world am I having to write this check out right now? I got, man, that was a good engine. All of a sudden it blew. Now I got to put another engine in my car and writing out that check. Pastor Lowe, why are you saying this? Because he wants our hearts. He wants to know that he's first. And if you're having trouble, quit seeking the blessing. Go after the one who blesses. And all of a sudden, the enemy will be put under your feet. He personally, when you put him first, and y'all know I'm not talking about money right now. You're talking about your heart. I just use money because a lot of people love money. They go to church. And they don't like talking about money. The Lord said, I want you to talk about it because they worship it more than they worship me. And they wonder why their marriage is on the rock. They wonder why things are going on in the house and they just can't see. Think, Pastor, be careful now. No, I'm very, very, very focused on what God's saying right now because, amen, it's time to get him back in the house. It's time to get him back in the house. You know, Judas wanted the blessing more than he wanted the blesser, and it cost him, didn't it? God didn't do that to him. He did it. He made a choice. He did it to himself. Amen. There were 12 disciples, and for a time period, they wanted the blessing more than they wanted the blesser. How do I know that? Because they were seeking to sit with him on his right hand and left hand. And he said, hold it, man. You're not getting this. And then how many times did Jesus have to stop and say, hey, guys, what y'all talking about back there? And they were discussing on who the greatest one was. Has anybody ever had battle that stuff? It's real, isn't it? And when you're looking for position and you're vibing for a place of being recognized, you're seeking the blessing more than the blesser. You can't carry this good news as long as you're still trying to validate yourself. God wants to validate you, but he can't until you let him become God in your life. Amen? So we don't go to church at New Life. We are the church at New Life. And we set the platform here in our hearts to let Jesus be Lord in his house. Yeah, we have flaws. Yeah, we need change. Yeah, we need more of Jesus. But we've decided we're going to start with him helping us get it together. Amen. This is your mouth, Lord. Use my tongue. Speak. Amen. So the good news isn't about the blessing. The good news is more about the blesser. This is going to help us today. The key to experiencing the benefits of God's victory for you requires that you can hear the voice of God. So when is Pastor Lowe ever going to shut up about that? Ain't happening. Because I need you to tell me what the Lord's saying. Because he'll give it to you in a way, if I put it together with what he's saying with me, breath comes into my spirit. Oh, I get edified because you're relaying to me how God spoke to you, and he spoke to me, and he said this, and I get to say, well, this is what he said to me, and you go, oh, man, I needed that too, and all of a sudden we see that not only do we need him, we need each other, and that all of us are very significant. And to anyone that would look and say, look, I'm the smallest of the house, God says you're more needed than you know. Because he goes to a man that said, I'm the smallest one in Israel. I'm the least in the of the tribes. I am the tiniest one there is. And he said, no, you're the one that's going to bring victory. You're the one that's going to bring them out of, amen, jail. You're going to set Israel free. Why? Because I'm going to do something. And boy, I like the way God did it. He went through a scenario. He sends a prophet, amen, and he had a hard time hearing. He sends a theophany in angel form, the angel of the Lord. And he's still thinking, I don't know if this is God here. Let me go get an offering, and I'll bring an offering to you, amen. And let me see what happened. And the angel of the Lord took that offering and went up in smoke. He said, you might be God talking. And right after that, the Lord speaks to him, and he hears. And he's still thinking, okay, if this is you, Lord, anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, then I'm going to fleece you if you don't mind, Lord. I need to make sure this is you talking. This is important for us today. It's imperative that you tune in your ear. And God worked with Gideon all the way up to the battle. Amen. And he says, if you're still afraid, and he knew he was, go down into the camp. And when I get through showing you that I'm talking to you, you'll be ready. Dude, when he got up out of that camp and heard what he heard, he was ready. And who done all the fighting? God. And Jesus said it multiple times. To him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To him that hath an ear, he kept repeating it. Because if you don't have an ear, you're going to miss the miracle. Today, you don't want to leave and talk about, man, Dwayne Lowe, man, he has something to say today. No, you missed it. But when you leave today and you say, man, didn't the Lord talk to us today? My God, he spoke to my spirit. Boy, the Lord confirmed some things through, amen, our servant in that house. Amen. I know more about who I am now, and I know where I'm going. That's what we want. That's what we need. That's why we show up on Sundays. Not to soothe our conscience, but to align ourselves with him and say, hey, Lord, here I am. Use me. Step out of the shadows and let him have his way. Amen. So hearing is of utmost importance. Nehemiah 8 and 12, this is why it's important. See the people. So the people, rather, went away to eat and to drink at a festive meal and share good food or gifts of food. and to celebrate with great joy because they heard God's word, underline this, and understood them. Anybody want to understand what God's saying? That's when you know you're hearing. Amen. Paul gives us the breakdown in Romans 10:14. He says, but how can they call on him to be saved, to save them, unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go to tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet says, Lord, who hath believed our message? And because Isaiah is used in this passage, I thought it might be good to go check out what he had to say in the spirit that was prophetic for this day. Isaiah is prophet in the Old Testament, but he's speaking of the one to come and for you and I that will be spirit-filled. And notice how he says it here. There's a common denominator. Check out this common denominator for hearing the good news. But I will reveal my name to my people, Isaiah 52:6, and they will come to know its power. Then at last they will recognize that I am the one who speaks to them. Y'all got to catch this. They're going to know my name. Why? Because you're going to take on that name. They're going to begin to recognize that I'm the one who speaks to them. All of a sudden, when it clicks in your spirit, you go, oh my God, God's been talking to me for a long time and I didn't know it was him talking. Oh my goodness, it's been him all the while reaching for me. Amen. He knew me in my mother's womb. He put me together wonderfully and fearfully and are you made. God knew what he was doing when he put you together. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation. Anybody catching this? Man, a message of peace and salvation is not as bad as you think. Our world is not going to hell in a handbasket. It ain't over with. God's fully in charge. He don't take Rolaids. He don't have an upset stomach because it's out of order. Amen. He is in charge, and he's in charge because he has a church that believes in the voice of God. Amen. Good news of peace and salvation. The news that God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy, for before their very eyes they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ain't got time to go into that Bible study, but the Lord returning to Jerusalem is talking about his church. Get time, I'll talk to you about it. We'll go over that. But the thing about it is, heavenly Jerusalem has a husband. Earthly Jerusalem hath not a husband. Come on, Paul wrote it. And heavenly Jerusalem that came down out of heaven in Revelation 20, I believe, the angel takes John by the hand in his vision. He says, I'm going to go show you the Lamb's wife. And he takes him to that city, heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of God. And he shows him the Lamb's wife. Did you know you're that city? Did you know God put you together to be the city that's set on a hill? You are that city that's shining in the earth today, all because you choose him to be Lord of his house. This is going to catch somebody here today because the good news is, amen, the Lord reigns. Oh, one of these days he's going to reign. Mm-mm. This is the day the Lord hath made. He took this thing back 2,000 years ago when he took death, hell, and the grave, the keys to it. And he gives back to Adam that was fallen, back his dominion, his authority, and his power. 2,000 years ago, that's why the cross, the most powerful event that ever happened and ever will happen. What he demonstrated on that cross, the love that he showed humanity. Amen. He took away the very teeth of hell, death, and grave. And he gives back to you and I through his redemptive blood, authority, and power, not to operate in the future, but this is the day the Lord hath made. Now is the appointed time. The day of the Lord is here now. And it started 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Did y'all know there's not going to be a wedding in the future? That wedding took place 2,000 years. Why? Because babies are being born. Children are being born right now. God's not an abomination to his own word. This is good for some people because you're looking for a wedding supper in the future. No, it already happened, ladies and gentlemen. The bride of Christ and Christ are together. And babies, our children are being born, amen? And they're taking on their true identity in baptism. And they're wearing the true name of Jesus in their life. They're sons and daughters right now. And every time you come together, two or three gather together in my name, he says, I'm in the midst of them. Every time we do this, the bride of Christ is together. And we're saying amen to what our husband is speaking. When we leave here today, you leave as sons. And you go into battle and you put the enemy on notice. Amen. Anytime you gather, it freaks him out. That's why he goes to church. He goes to church so he needs to know how fast he's going to run when he leaves. He goes to church to find out what kind of battle plans are going on right now. And what he don't like is the message we're preaching right now, because we're preaching that you're anointed and you're set up by heaven to be God's man and woman for his kingdom purpose so he can fill the earth with his glory. You are the one that carries this message, and he chose you. And so every miracle starts with our willingness to give him our ear. You need a miracle today? Got to give him your ear. That's the simple thing. That's light and easy. Amen? Well, no, Pastor, I'm going to go work. I'm going to put in about 40 hours of community service. Maybe he'll heal me. What? I'm going to write a big old check to a charity. Maybe he'll heal me. I'm going to do something to earn this healing. No, you're not. The miracle starts when you give him an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because when you hear, faith comes by hearing the very voice of God. He that hath an ear to hear. And faith is the only thing that will please him. You can't do nothing good enough to please him. And when you catch this and you begin to pay attention and tune into him speaking to your spirit, all of a sudden now, the good news has a platform to flow from. The good news can begin to operate all of a sudden. Now, man, the marriage starts getting healed. The relationship at work gets healed. I mean, the bank account gets to looking better. And the things about life around us starts to coming together. And you don't really care about that no more, because now you're in fellowship with him. He's everything. So his voice to us encourages us, amen, to be bold, to be passionate for victory. In Revelation 2 and 7, anyone with an ear to hear, notice this. It says, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches, to everyone who is victorious. When you hear, you become victorious. Is anybody catching this? I need to pause a minute so that we cause and effect. If you hear, now you have the potential to be victorious. Anybody want victory? Amen. Anybody want more, to have more fun, to be kids in daddy's kingdom, to play in daddy's playground? Come on. He that hath an ear, to everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. What's the paradise of God? The kingdom of God is within you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you'll give him an ear and hear what he's saying, out of you will flow the issues of life. You will be rivers of living water going everywhere you go. You'll be given life everywhere you go. That's the pair. Come on, Adam. That's what he was doing. He walked with the voice of God. And when he walked with the voice of God, which we're redeemed to through the blood of the Lamb, amen, he takes care of God's business. You are God's sons who take care of his business. His business is people. It's his garden. You get up today because God's going to put treasure in front of you called people. And he's asking you to trust him with what he's speaking in your spirit, because you have what it takes to encourage them, to edify them, to build them up, to speak life into them. You have what it takes to see them come out of darkness into marvelous light. Let your light so shine before men that they will see his good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You've been given the opportunity, if you'll tune in and listen, to move hell back, to help people get up from their circumstances and situations, shake himself off and get their feet under them, and they begin to tread on the enemy wherever they go. Because you have the good news. You have what it takes, but there needs to be a tuning in for station identification. Amen. Revelation 2 and 11, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit with understanding what he is saying to the churches. There we go again. Getting your second witness here. Here, whoever's victorious will not be harmed by the second death. When is this going to happen? Now. Revelation 2:17. Now, Jesus is already saying all these things to the church when he was in flesh. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you operating today, right now. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. I just got to stop and say, Jesus was the bread that came down from heaven. He is hidden in heaven. Heaven had came near 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of heaven is near. He was looking straight at us when he came 2,000 years ago. He was into humanity. And anyone that hath an ear to hear, I'm going to give you manna that's been hidden in heaven. What is that? I'm going to give you Jesus. Amen. You're going to eat the bread of life. If you'll open that door and let me in, I'm going to come sit down and sup with you. Amen. And while you're eating bread, amen. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. It was a hard saying. Then he said it before he went to the cross. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part with me. He's talking about the bread that came down from heaven. Unless you're willing to partake of his life, you can't have no part. And he never was sad about it, even though he had to go through and wrestle with the fact that he's going to take my curse and your curse on himself. He had to drink that cup because he loved us. He still had joy doing it because he knew what he was going after was worth it. When are we going to let him get us so full of his Spirit that we know it's worth every step we make with him? Because it's light and easy at that point. It's fun. It's exciting. It's the only life to live, ladies and gentlemen. Get filled up with God until your cup is running over. And you can't shut up talking about how good God is. You can't shut up encouraging, edifying, and encouraging people and building them up. You just eat up with it. Amen. It's never about you. It's always about God and others. You know you're on fire at that point. But if you're here today and it's still about you, and you're still having heartburn, you're saying, you know, Pastor, as soon as I get me corrected, then I'm going to get on board. You ain't never going to get you corrected. You ain't never had the authority to get you. All you can do is choose to let him come correct you. You can choose to say, Lord, help me and come to this house and get me straight. But you ain't going to straighten you out. I've tried straightening me out. It don't work. And I think I'm a pretty disciplined guy. But I always fail me. He never fails me. When he comes, he humbles me. Not in a negative way, but in the right way. And it's easy then in light. So why is it so important that we hear? Matthew 10:27 is what I tell you in darkness. Anybody ever felt like things were unfair? Anybody felt like you was on a boat in a storm and it was about to go down? It's been dark around you? He said, when you're going through something that's not fair looking and it's not like aggravating to have to deal with, what I tell you during that time, pay close attention. Because the only reason the storm's going on in your life is because the enemy you've been entertaining ain't wanting to give up his house. It ain't his house, it's God's house. And the storm is going on because he's trying to stop you from hearing what God is saying. Have you ever been so mad you want to bite a nail into? Have you been so just, boy, I want to knock them out right now. And see, that's darkness. Everybody agree? And if you'll pause for a minute and say, Lord, I want to take them out right now. Not in a good way. So what do you got to say about this? If you pause while you're in darkness, he got something to say about it. And if you'll trust him, the very one you want to knock out, he's going to come through you and be life for them. But you're going to get a double portion because you let him use you. Oh, this is helping somebody today. Amen. The good news is for something more than what we thought it was for, huh? Amen. And the reason many do not hear what God is saying to them is what Paul said to Timothy, a young minister. He said in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, they will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. So this is it in a nutshell. I'm going to close out here in just a few moments. Hear me. You're going to listen to one or two voices. And I know everybody comes to saying, dude, look, you got mental problems if you're hearing voices. There's problems here. Yeah, and for you to say it like that, you got problems. Because you in trouble. Because God can't come to that house. You've already got everything figured out. But you don't have it figured out. Because if you're saying that, you're in trouble. And we can have a sit-down session and verify all the trouble you're in. And you ain't happy. And you're looking for answers. And being good ain't going to get you nowhere. There's only one good, and that's God. But submitting to the one who is good and letting him come to his house and take over. Oh, now we're going to go somewhere. But he needs your ear to hear what he's saying. Amen. Because if you're not hearing him, you're hearing the devil. I'm going to go ahead and be blunt. You ain't that smart to get all these ideas you have and all this knowledge you got. You ain't that smart to have it. You got it from somewhere. And it may be the kind of knowledge that's going to kill you and take you out. What you need is Jesus to talk to you. Amen. All your diplomas, all your knowledge hadn't got you nowhere. But Jesus can get you somewhere. And he can start right now. And he can take you further than you've ever been in just a few moments if you'll let him take over. Amen. And so what is the gospel? Mark 1 and 15, just for the sake of everybody that hadn't read this, the time is fulfilled. Jesus is the one talking here. The kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in us, is at hand. This is before he went to the cross. Repent and believe the gospel. Now remember, Isaiah said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. The good news of peace and salvation, and that this news that God of Israel reigns. So I want to challenge you here. There's three things I'm closing with that verify that you have heard and you have obeyed the gospel. And you're building your altar right when you do this. Anybody want to make sure your altars are built right? Amen. Let me say it this way, because that can sound Christianese. You're a living sacrifice. You got up this morning and you said, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Your altar's built right. That's the platform that he'll come to you when your altar's right. Not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? Altar's right. You've tore down self-will, which is what Baal represented in the Old Testament. And he's all over the earth today. Self-will is iniquity. Self-will ain't got me and you nowhere. But when we become selfless on behalf of our Lord, it gets us everywhere. Amen? It is jet fuel in the plane. And we're going somewhere. So, when you hear the gospel preached, number one, you will know the power of his name. You will know the power of his name. Because the testimonies of those who carry this good news, fear, doubt, and unbelief are put under their feet. In other words, they don't fear the stuff that they're facing in their lives. They don't fear no more. They don't doubt the fact that they're designed by God to be his man or woman. Amen. They're not filled with unbelief, but rather they're filled with faith. They hear the voice of God. Hope. Amen. They got a message that's good news. And love. A demonstration of who our daddy is everywhere we go. Is anybody catching this? Amen. You will know the power of his name. And by the way, when you hear it right, you will go down in the water in his name. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from heaven for everyone to go down in the water in his name. When you hear the gospel preached, number two, you will recognize who it is that speaks. All of a sudden, your spiritual ear is opened. You're hungry and thirsty for more of God, and you're allowing him to come in spirit and in fire and fill you up until you become his mouthpiece. And you can only say what he says, and you can only do what you see him do. That's when you've heard the gospel. But if you hadn't allowed that to happen yet, you just hadn't heard it right yet. The third thing that happens when you hear the gospel, and you're not hearing me speak it, you're hearing him speak it, is you will see God return to his house. Amen. You will see it. You will know he's in your heart. You'll step into your true Christ identity. Come on now. I'm saying that to help somebody here. When I saw people that were being filled with the Spirit, I knew God had come to his house because they wasn't the same person. They were totally changed. And they were more like Jesus than I had ever seen anyone. Several of them. This is interesting. In Acts chapter 2, you have a multitude. And they are like freaking out over 120 people that are getting filled with the Spirit. And they say things like this. What is going on? What means this? What's happening here? And Peter, he steps up and he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last day, saith God, I'm going to pour out Spirit on all flesh. He's telling them, what you see going on right here, if it didn't happen to you, if you'll let Jesus in. And he began to preach Christ to them, the whole multitude. And by the time he got through preaching Jesus Christ crucified and what demonstration of love he did for them, their hearts were cut. Not in a bad way, no condemnation. They were convicted. And this is what's missing in most of the Christian world. What must I do is missing. And it's not doing in the sense of good. It's simply opening up and letting him come to his house. Come on now. This is missing in most of Christianity because they said, what must I do? Because they wanted to be a part of this prophecy. And Peter said, you can read it in your Bible. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, what must I do? Repent. Change the way you think. Your stinking thinking's got to go. You got to think right. Repent. We're going to think on his level. Every thought that exalts itself above God, we're going to cast it down. I'm repenting. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm going to stop making it about me. I'm going to make it about you and others. Repent. Self-will, gone. Selflessness, in. I want my house back. And this is how you're going to verify it. You're going to walk over there to the water and walk down in it, and you're going to get baptized, and you're going to take on Christ. This is just starting the race, ladies and gentlemen. We're not talking about, we ain't even in the race yet. We're just starting the race. And you're going to take on that name that's above every name in baptism. And when you come up out of that watery grave, it's a promise that you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. This is to your children, to their children, and as many as our Lord our God shall call. And that's what we're missing in the Christian world, is that, what must I do? But they didn't stop there. Go to Samaria, same thing. Man, they're freaking out. Man, they all of a sudden, man, they saw the healings and the miracles. Great joy was in the city. But when Jesus came to his house, he got one guy wanting to buy that. Wow. What must I do? It gets to the Gentile's house. This is what I really like, because there's some Jews that go with Peter. And the Gentile house is full of Gentiles, which are dogs to a Jew. And the Jews go, they were amazed because he was coming to his house in the Gentiles. They were like, wow. They marveled because they saw him coming to his house. Is the Lord in his house today? And if he's not, he wants to be before you leave here in the next few minutes. Could we stand? Ain't nobody here but Jesus, right? Anybody believe you supposed to be Jesus? And if you don't feel like you're being his representative, you can leave today knowing you are his representative. That the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago in the upper room, the same thing that happened in Samaria, the same thing that happened in a centurion's home that was packed out with Gentiles just like me and you, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It don't change. This gospel remains the same. And if you keep coming here at New Life Fellowship, we are going to carry this message. And everywhere we go, we're going to be selfless. We're going to bless everyone we come in contact with hope. We're going to speak life. We're going to serve our Lord by being available to him wherever we go. And we're going to take care of whoever he puts in front of us. Today at New Life Fellowship, he's put beautiful, anointed, powerful people in front of me. And he said, now, son, they'll carry this word because I'm about to use them in this world. They're going to be world changers. Wherever they go, they're going to shift the dynamics of the climate and the atmosphere. And life is going to begin to spill out of them.